pressing the big red record button so that I can put this up on the internet. Tonight's talk is going to be about setting New Year's intentions skillfully. Of course, New Year's is just a convention. The sun's not going to come up on Saturday with a big 2011 on it. It's just a way that nobody else but people will think that anything has changed. So, but there are skillful things to do. It's of course a way to demarcate the passing of time and remind ourselves that another year's passed, to review what we've accomplished and stuff like that. But people also tend to set intentions, and intentions are very much at the core of what the Buddha taught. The Buddha said that while in life we get shot now and then with arrows, an arrow will be shot into us. It can be pain, or something does somebody something unskillful to us, or we can get fired, or the inevitable lose a friendship, or lose a member of the family, or whatever. All this stuff is the inevitables of life. These are the arrows that get shot, the first arrow, the Buddha called it. But then all the other arrows we shoot in afterwards are done by ourselves. And it's the additional thoughts and gut reactions, the stresses, the why me, the taking all the universal experiences in life personally. Why am I the one who gets dumped or abandoned or whatever? We take things that happen to everybody personally. And in that way, we shoot ourselves with more and more arrows. So the Buddha very much said that the important arrows are the ones that we shoot into ourselves, because those are the things that we can do something about. The Four Noble Truths, for instance, concern all the suffering that we cause ourselves. So, in general, the Buddha said the core way that we cause ourselves unnecessary suffering is through our goals and motivations and intentions behind our actions. It's not just our actions and our speech that's important, but also what is the underlying, what are we really intending? What is our intention? For example, if we do something that's perceived as nice, but really the intention is to strategically get somebody to like us for ulterior motives, or there's an unsavory underlying motivation, then there's no long-term benefit from the action, because really what's going on is we're creating in the mind stress, even though externally we've taken an action that people think is good. If we're still somehow judging others, keeping ourselves different, regretting being generous, regretting being helpful, if we're comparing how much we do versus what other people do, all that stuff doesn't create a pleasant mind to live in the future. In fact, all that mental unskillfulness causes in the future a mental landscape that is unpleasant to be in. It really boils down to that very much, it's not just our actions, but the thoughts behind the actions and the intentions that we set that play an enormous role in our future mental environment, the mind that we live in. The Buddha was basically, he's not, when he talked about karma, he's not talking about if you kick a dog in this life, a dog in the next life will bite you. That's not karma. Karma is a basically very obvious and verifiable psychological insight, which is that the thoughts that you think, which motivate your actions, create the kind of mind that you live in. So if you think thoughts of fear and worry about things that you can't control, you're going to live in the future in a mind that's filled with fear and worry. And if you live in a mind that's filled with anger and judgment, you're going to live in the future largely in a mind that's filled with anger and judgment. The more we pursue and give energy to certain kinds of goals and intentions and thoughts and plans, the more we actually tend to live in that kind of mental landscape. Now, tonight I'm going to talk specifically about how to set skillful intentions. Everybody has the experience, or most people, I shouldn't say everybody, but most people have the experience of setting an intention, and then whether it's giving up smoking or losing a certain amount of weight or eating healthy or exercising or whatever it is you've had your experience with, as often as not, they don't work out. The third day in or the fifth day in, we wake up and we don't exercise or we don't eat healthily, or we don't do whatever it was we said we were going to do for the rest of our lives, and we give up. So what are the ways to set skillful intentions that we can keep rather than intentions that we give up on? So I've come up with six, skimming through some of the teachings of the Buddhas and reflecting on stuff that the monks I've studied with have taught me over the years. I've come up with six basic ground rules, as they were, which you are free to completely ignore. So they're not ground rules. They're ideas, suggestions, possibilities. Think of a mild word that we can bear in mind. So the first is to, the first idea when setting intentions is to follow one of the great insights of the 12-step programs, which is to refrain from making any resolution or intention that we want to do for the rest of our lives or for the next year or for any extended period of time. Make whatever resolution we have to only last for one day. Now, why is that? Because the stress and mental energy of carrying around the thought, I have to do this shit for the rest of my life, makes everything unbearably heavy and impossible to do. It can be as simple as, I want to eat healthier. If you say, I want to do that for the rest of my life, suddenly a light thought becomes heavy and insurmountable and difficult to bear. It becomes also something that's very easy then to give up. You reach day four, you eat McDonald's or whatever, and you're like, okay, well, there goes that. I give up. I smoked that cigarette. Fuck it. And so if you set, for example, an intention of trying to meditate, every day, that will set you up. But if you just say, I would like to meditate today, you simply each day have to wake up and remember, oh yes, today I'm going to set the intention again and put the effort in to meditate. However, if you say, I want to meditate every day for the rest of my life, or for at least this year I want to meditate every day, then not only do you still have to wake up and remember to meditate, still have to put in the effort, but you got to carry that stupid story around with you. I'm going to meditate every day for this year. It becomes weighty, difficult to carry around. So with all intentions that are important, simply keep them to a daily 24-hour time period. If they are important, if you notice the effect that they have, and then the next day you don't do it, simply notice the effect of how that day feels by not doing whatever it is. For instance, say on Saturday you meditate, and then on Sunday you don't. Notice what does Sunday feel like as a result, and how does Saturday feel. Notice what happens in the days that you meditate, and notice what happens on the days that you don't. Eventually you'll see, oh, the days that I did set the intention to meditate and did, my mind was a lot more comfortable. I was much less reactive, much less likely to say things I regretted. I was much more, I had much more choices and which behaviors to follow, etc. So this is a very skillful thing to do. The first is, again, to one day at a time, with every intention. Simply, for today, I would like to. No more for 2011. So, the second is to start out with intentions that are small enough that they are actually makeable. For example, with the meditation, if we want to meditate, instead of saying, I want to meditate today for 30 minutes or 40 minutes, find the smallest time that you can comfortably do. And then as you've done it a couple of times, then very gradually build it up. There's nothing more self-sabotaging than setting an intention that is going to require an enormous shift in behavior. For example, if you are going from, one of the ways I've seen people smoke for years is by deciding, well, when I quit, I'm just going to go cold turkey. I'm not going to use any of those nicotine patches. Fuck that. That's for wimps. I'm not going to cut down, reward myself in any way, shape, or form. I'm just going to do it the way men do it, which is such a bore to listen to because you'll be hearing it for the next year and the next year and the next year and the next year, and they never will quit. The simpler way to do it is to set goals that are incremental and manageable so that you're not immediately setting yourself up for failure. It's so much more skillful to say, today I want to meditate for 5 minutes and do it, than to say, today I'm meditating for a half an hour and give up 3 minutes in, because you're just so much, it's so much better to set a manageable intention and gradually build. So, it's the Buddha also taught something along the lines of what Ajahn Jeff calls scale invariance, which is the way we relate to very small things is generally the same way we relate to very big things in life. The same way we relate to a small pain in the leg during meditation is the way we relate to the large discomforts in our lives, like people who won't go away or jobs we don't like. If we try to push away the pain in our leg during the meditation, we'll be the people who are angry and try to push away the people at our jobs we don't like. So starting out small often will train the mind and prepare it to deal with the bigger. So there's nothing unskillful about starting out with a smaller intention rather than a larger one. The third is to make sure that our intention that we're setting really fits the underlying problem. Now, this goes to the core of very often in life, we try to solve internal problems, internal feelings of loneliness or lack of esteem or lack of inner calmness, lack of peace. We try to solve these by accumulating statuses in the real world. This year, I want to accomplish this. I want to really do a lot of art. I really want to fix the way I feel by accumulating this status at my job or by really doing this thing in the world. Now, there's nothing wrong with accomplishing things in the world, but the problem, if we've mismatched our intentions with what the underlying problem is there'll still be a sense of emptiness after you accomplish anything if the intention doesn't match the underlying problem. If there's really an underlying sense of lack in our lives, it's often an internal feeling that cannot be easily or really in any way addressed by simply filling up our lives with external practices. Sometimes really the real healing comes from what we call an inside job, by taking the time to share with otherwise spiritual practitioners how we feel to get some clarity. There's often working with, you know, psychiatrists, psychologists, therapists, teachers, to find out perhaps really what we have been frightened to look at. And then once we see, there's often a time where we have to just sit with and be with the underlying sense of what's missing. And then we can go about really finding a skillful way of addressing that core need. It could be sometimes people try to address an underlying feeling of lack of purpose in life. Sometimes they try to do that by saying, well, this year I'm really going to get my money-making act together, or I'm really going to make money for my art, or I'm really going to do a lot of... But really, sometimes what will just address that underlying lack of purpose is once we see it, to acknowledge it, to be with it, and then to try to do a little bit of skillful volunteer work with others or service. And that is a much more appropriate way. Sometimes just once a week doing something that helps others as opposed to necessarily rebuilding an entire career sometimes can go just as far, if not much further. So just bear that in mind. Make sure that your intention is really matching what the underlying feelings that are motivating it. Four, celebrate your efforts, not the results. This should be pretty obvious. I pretty much summarized it there, but very often in life, one example from meditation is what happens sometimes when we have a great sense of pleasure in meditation or a great sense of insight, or we have a great sudden realization, is we stop focusing on doing the effort of working with the breath and relaxing the body, and we're like, oh, that's great, I've had this wonderful epiphany, suddenly I understand why I'm so neurotic, it's all so clear to me, and then all of the peace actually, or the insight goes away, because we stop doing the thing that brought about the peace or the insight, rather than focusing on the results. If we focus on the effort or the actions that bring about, as the Buddha said, focus on the cause and the results will happen. There's a lot of wonderful, wonderful clinical trials and tests that have established this. They did a test with, I believe it was grade school kids, where they broke them down into the kids whose parents rewarded them for their effort versus the kids whose parents rewarded them for their grades. And the kids whose parents said, oh, that's great, you worked for an hour, and didn't focus on whether or not they got an A, B, or C, those kids invariably wound up going much further in their education and finding jobs that were much more meaningful to them, and having, and also, not only did they do that and tested much better and wound up much more socially adjusted, but they wound up like being much more skillful in the workplaces because they would reward other people for their efforts. But the parents who's rewarded their kids only for the results, whether they got an A, they were, you know, treated to a nice present, but if they got a C, they were given the cold shoulder or whatever such parents would do. Those kids invariably stopped being involved, started resenting their teachers, and actually were less successful in finding motivating careers. It was a hugely sabotaging thing to do, just the subtle change in rewarding people for the results as opposed to the efforts put into it. So even if you find that when you're putting in effort into your meditation, at first the mind is still jumping around, there's still agitation, etc., etc., reward yourself for the effort you put in. Don't reward yourself only based on the results, but reward yourself for the effort. Okay? Part and parcel of that is also refrain from the stick approach, which doesn't really work, which means beating up on yourself if you don't put the effort in. The Buddha taught being aware of what, to seeing the suffering that results when we don't put any effort into life and we just revert to our old habitual programming, that's enough. There's no need to beat up on yourself. The more you beat up on yourself, the more you're going to entrap yourself. You're going to create more stress, more stories about who you are, and you're going to feel more trapped into this habitual behavior. On the other hand, if you simply reward yourself for putting in an effort on any given day, you're more likely the following day and the following day to do that, because you're adding less stress to your life and you're associating meditating or exercising or whatever the intention is with a feeling of accomplishment. So that's number four. Number five is equanimity, which is basically not to limit yourself to one single intention. The Buddha taught the Eightfold Path for a reason. Sometimes in life we get stuck on something. And in my experience working with a lot of people, the people who by far and away have the most success in achieving peace are the ones who accumulate more spiritual tools and are willing, when they get stuck in one area, to jump to another one. So if we only set one intention, like, okay, today I'm going to, or if we only have one intention to set, today I'm going to exercise, you know, or this week I'm going to exercise more, or whatever. Then if we, for some reason, don't have the time to go to the gym, then we're pretty much stuck. But if we have equanimity and see, well, I'm exhausted or I'm sick, I really can't exercise today. Instead, I'm going to meditate, or I'm going to call up a friend and ask how they're doing, or I'm going to actually do some writing, or I'm actually going to, etc. You get the idea. The more skillful intentions we have available to us, the more likelihood we can, with equanimity, see which ones are appropriate and do them, as opposed to forcing ourselves to do that one thing that we set up. The Buddha, again, taught always lists and lists and lists, and that's why I never run out of things to blather on about, because there's an infinite variety of tools that the Buddha taught, and so are there an infinite variety of things that we can work on. I mean, if I look at what goes on just to keep myself sane and sober, it's a little bit embarrassing. I have to exercise, I have to meditate, I have to go outside and get the sun for a half an hour, I've got to call up and check in with friends who are spiritual on the path, I've got to make a living, I've got to show up for the relationships in my life, I've got to you get the idea. There's a lot of areas in life. So we're not limited in where to strategically and skillfully place our efforts. Sometimes just putting an effort into one area that we've left abandoned for a while can give just as good a feeling of accomplishment as another area would on another day. And finally, never, ever, ever base an intention on comparing ourselves with others. You might know somebody who's meditating for 40 minutes a day, and you might say, well, that's obviously the standard. Or I've heard that other people exercise for 40 minutes of cardio every day. That's what I've got to do. Drop every single externally based model of who you should be and simply aim your intention on what you are capable of doing today. Basing your intentions by comparing your insides with somebody else's outsides is setting yourself up for failure. A, because really the bulk of skillful intentions are set on the inside, and you can't look into somebody's mind and see if they're happy. They might sound happy. Lord, every single yoga teacher I've ever met sounds blissful all the fucking time. They're always like, hello, welcome. It's like, my God, are you guys in this like heavenly realm all the fucking time? And I was really like, holy shit, maybe, you know, I've been practicing this shit for 20 years, but I have my fucking bad days. And these yoga teachers, they are always blissed out to the max. Maybe I'm totally in the wrong direction here. So, but I realized one day, maybe I can't reach into their minds. Maybe these people are just as fucking stressed out at times as anybody else. So I don't compare what I feel with what other people seem to be manifesting externally.
They're faking it.
They're faking it till they make it or else. Or otherwise. And the same goes for most people. So, but anyway, let go of setting our models based on what other people are. So just to review my makeshift list for setting skillful intentions one day at a time. Set the goals for a limited period of time. 2, start out with very small incremental resolutions. 3, make sure that the intention meets the underlying feeling of what's wrong. 4, celebrate our efforts, not the results. 5, have enough spiritual tools that we can choose, or spiritual goals that we can choose which one we're capable of today with equanimity. And 6, never base intentions based on what other people seem to be doing, base our intentions on what we're capable of doing today. So I hope that brought some little bit of wisdom or insight or something valuable to you. And with that, I now turn it over to your questions and shares. So thank you very much for listening.